Welcome to Rooster Radio, a broadcast dedicated to supporting and promoting local artists in the Gaston County and surrounding areas.
But yeah, that plus it was a very long day. Plus yeah. I had that situation with the other guy that had me all kind of ruffled my feathers. Yeah. Somebody pissed me off yesterday, and I'm not going to blast anybody. Let's just say there's one place around here that's no longer getting my support.
There was a lot of emotions yesterday.
Yeah, it was an emotional day. Plus we had a market and a show. You know, there were some competing shows, too, that kind of kept our crowd from being as big
when
as
when I got home, I found out there were 9 other local things going on in the county.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, there's always going to be something else to do. Like that's not a good excuse as to why no one's here. Like you want to, your knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, well, this is going on here and this is going on there. But the fact of the matter is that's not why people aren't here. People aren't here because they don't want to be here yet. You got to give them a reason to want to be here. That's why, you know, if we were deep frying food, they'd be lining out the door.
Welcome to Gastonia. Fish. A fish fry.
Get a county fair booth out here in the front.
I'm telling you, the county fair restaurant, it's a $1 million idea. Just serve county fair food.
I mean,
grilled corn on the cob, deep fried, all
a
that
bucket
stuff.
Of fried pickles. I mean,
turkey legs, barbecue,
donuts,
And some Pepto-Bismol to go with it.
Right.
Yeah. At the make it one of the places where you got to pay at the register when you're done, and then have like Pepto and Imodium and all that shit lined up by the register with the little mint packs from the Shriners Club.
Yep. You know what? That's not bad. You're
something
need
about them mints though. Those Shriners Club mints. You remember those things? Those things are so much better than anything you get in a store.
That's funny. I don't know those ones that you used to be able to find at weddings, but now weddings are a full catered meal. But like you know, the '90s,
the
'80s,
buttery,
soft, the little butter.
Yeah, they melt in your mouth.
Those are so good.
Yeah,
they are. I'm glad you said that. They're really good.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Mr. Robert Kellogg. Say hello, Robert.
Hey, everyone.
So you should know who Robert is if you live in his community. If you don't, Robert is a city council member here in Gastonia. He's at Ward 4.
Ward
1, and Robert is running for mayor this year, but that's not why we're here. The reason I've asked Robert on is because he's one of the biggest community advocates that we have here in Gastonia. Not just Gaston County, specifically Gastonia, he is a champion of this city, and he, in the face of what seemingly is just nonstop ridicule and nonstop, I don't know, what's the right word for the shit you catch from people?
I think you said it, but I'm not going to say it.
the man just stays positive and stays on track, and that's why I respect you so much, is that you very rarely deter off of that positive, like, informational kind of approach, trying to do the best you can with the tools you have at your disposal. You know, everybody has an opinion on how this should go or how that should go or where your tax dollars should be spent.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is we have tools at our disposal, and we are limited to those tools. We can't make new ones. We can try, which is what we're doing with some of the things that are happening in downtown, trying to, cast a wider net to gain more resources and, whatever anyone has to say about any of that, everyone's got an opinion, but none of you are doing anything about it, but Robert is. And my first question is, why Gastonia? Because you're not a native. You're not originally from here. Why Gastonia?
I'm not a native. And people bring it up to me all the time and as like it's a negative. I think it's a freaking positive to have somebody who's not from here to choose to live here because you see the opportunity here. And because you understand that it's like a diamond in the rough. It's like a canvas that hasn't been painted yet. And it could be whatever we want it to be, but we've got to move beyond what we know or what we've been taught or what we've been told the last several decades or even generations. Gastonia has the opportunity to be a place where people can not only survive but thrive. You know, I don't know about anybody else, but it's kind of tiring to see people just hanging on and other places moving forward and becoming successful and being in the spotlight. I think it's time for Gastonia to take it up a notch, and I think we can. But I'm here because, this city has been very gracious to me, very welcoming, in spite of some of the social media posts.
Yeah.
You know, I think we sometimes listen to all of that chatter and all of that negativity, and we think it's everybody. It's not everybody. It's not. I mean, there are a lot of good people here who are invested in this city and want to see good things happen and want to help people and just want to move forward. And I think what I've learned in the last couple of years is to try to tune that out as best as I can, the negativity. It doesn't mean you don't learn from some of it, because, you know, there may be some truth in some of it. But if all you concentrate on is that negativity, you're never going to move forward.
It's the squeaky wheel versus silent majority argument, mm-hmm. You know. The squeaky wheel always get, you know, the loudest. Yeah, that's kind of how we got into the social disarray that we've been in since, you know, 2016 is that we're letting the people with the loudest voices, who are the minority for the most part, get their way, while the rest of us who are sensible, level-headed, reasonable people, we're too busy working and producing and putting good into the world to sit there and just belly gripe about everything. Yeah. And that's where the disconnect happens, because if you're using social media as your barometer for where mm-hmm. we are as a community, then you're not getting a holistic view of where people really are. Yeah. You know, it's in the one-on-one conversations that you have with people in the community. Those are, you know, that's where you get the real facts. You know, because, you know, think about it. You know, if you've got the time to sit there and just constantly shit on stuff on social media, you're not doing anything productive. I don't know about you, but I'm way too busy to sit there and comment on every post and critique every decision that's been made. You know, and look, you know, if you really feel that strongly about it, show up to the city council meeting and sign up to speak, right?
Right.
That's how you really get it done, right?
Yep, absolutely.
But I don't want to, you know, harp too much on negative. I just want to make the point that, hey, if you're that upset about it, put forth some effort and do something. And again, it goes back to why I respect what you do here in the community. Now, pardon me, I apologize for that. You know, I asked you why Gastonia. Do you want to talk about where you're from and how you got here?
Sure. I'm from upstate New York, a really small town. It's probably the size of, I don't even think it's as big as Belmont. So it's a smaller community. And, I grew up in poverty. I mean, really poverty. I mean, some people say they know what poverty is, but until you've had pancakes 4 or 5 nights in a row because that's all your parents can afford, that's, you know, that's poverty. And, you know,
I didn't know it was poverty.
That.
It was breakfast for dinner. That's what my parents called it, breakfast for dinner.
It was, and you know, it's
the easiest way to
thin like
something
them.
Out.
it is. But I even struggled in my 20s and even 30s. You know, I was working in retail management but not making enough money, and finally got to the point where I was on the verge of homelessness. You know, they were looking for my car, and I had to hide it in a hotel parking lot, because you can't, you know, if somebody's looking to repossess your car, you don't put it in your driveway.
Right.
So I had to hide it and then walk home at night, and I said, this is no way to live. I mean, there's got to be something out there that's better than what's
you're
happening.
Still in upstate New York.
Right, upstate New York. And then my sister had moved down to North Carolina the year before, and finally she reached out to me and said, you know, just come down here. Come down here. I promise you things are going to be better. Long story short, I listened to her, which was some of the, you know, the best thing I ever did. And things are better, you know, and I think the lesson is sometimes you have to take a chance. And that's why I feel kind of like I gravitate towards Gastonia, because our history is people who have taken chances, people that came here looking for something better. And not everybody succeeded, but they came here in search of a better life. Even the mill towns, I mean, all of that history, it's part of who we are. And
yeah,
I feel comfortable here.
If you take the time to get to know a little bit about the history of Gastonia and Gaston County as a whole, you know, early 1900s, you know, this town developed by a bunch of risk takers, a bunch of guys who saw that the Catawba River ran through here. Textiles was a booming industry, and you know, that's why it's called the Spindle City, because there were so many textile mills. And these men made fortunes. You know, they created a structure of society that can be critiqued, and that's a conversation for another podcast. But, you know, that's what this town was built on. That's how this town got money. And then, you know, in the mid-1900s, as industrialization, you know, streamlined a lot of these processes, more and more people lost their jobs. And it has been over 50 years, we're probably closer to 60 years now, that Gastonia specifically has just been a below average, you know, salary kind of a town. You know, the, you know, your what's the word I'm looking for? Like your average income.
Right.
Your average income is low in Gastonia, which is why, you know, house prices are cheaper than everywhere else around Charlotte. It's why property houses are cheaper. And like right now, a lot of people are griping about the increase in property tax, and nobody wants to pay more taxes. The truth is, we have been at the bottom of the barrel for a very long time in the state in terms of property taxes, and we're still not even close to the quote unquote norm. And the thing that hasn't caught up are salaries. Yep. Wages have not caught up, and that's, you know, and that's what people are really upset about. That's what people are really upset about, is that there's not a lot of places to make a lot of money here, and we're trying to change that by bringing all kinds of cool things to this town. And you know, you're seeing it happen in Belmont and now Mount Holly, and things are slowly making their way down here. And it takes risk takers. You know, like Walmart's not going to be your savior, despite despite what you might believe. Walmart's not saving any communities. It's dilapidating your community's ability to be self-sufficient. Is what big box stores do.
Yeah,
it's what corporations do, and they've gotten so good at it that some places have been left with no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we fix it?
That's a loaded question.
He just laid it all out there, and he's like, "Oh, okay."
You know, it has to start with the community believing that we deserve better. And I think sometimes, you know, individually and also collectively, we may not always think we deserve it. And that's, again, feeding into that negative attitude and all those stereotypes and generation after generation of saying, well, it's always been this way in Gastonia, and we allow Charlotte to make fun of us and everybody else to shape our narrative. But I think it's going to take some guts
for people
to say, a shift of perspective, absolutely, and just say, look, we're not going to do it like this anymore. We are proud of who we are. We're proud of this city. We're going to make something happen. And I think that's part of it, but I think it's also investing in our small businesses and our entrepreneurs. And that gets to kind of what you were saying about Walmart. Nothing against Walmart, and we need those stores, but we really need a live and a thriving downtown and small businesses all across the city. And once you see that start to rise, I think you'll see other parts coming together.
And we recently proved that it's possible when we did the bar crawl a few weeks back. You know, we proved that we can have hundreds of people in downtown, and there's enough to go around for everybody, and we can make that a weekly thing. You know, now I'm speaking from a bar owner perspective, right? What about the people that say, oh, that's what we need, more bars? People that are anti-nightlife and anti-drinking, what about them? Well, we have a huge, you know, multi-million dollar sports facility at our disposal, and it's unfortunate that the management of that company has not been as engaging in the community as we would like, but there's still an opportunity there. And you know, there's the pavilion that the Rotary does, all kinds of good stuff. There's always, you know, I get an email every
something going on.
I get an email every month from the city telling me what's going on in downtown.
Yep.
You know, it's, you know, people have to just be willing to get out of the house and go participate in these things and support these people, because it's not just bars, it's not just restaurants, it's all kinds of people trying to do good things in the community, and you got to get out and participate. And again, the shift of perspective, I do believe that's part of it. I agree with you. That's part of it.
There were the vendors that were out at the bar crawl. They benefited so well from that.
Oh yeah,
and those are micro businesses,
right?
And everybody, like the two we had out here, the one that was at Citycade and Alec Cavendish, they all did pretty well. The one down at Citycade almost sold out of her stuff. She had very little stuff to take home.
Yeah, it's a testament to the power of what we can do when we all work together. And that's one of the other things I really respect about your approach is you're always trying to put people together. So talk to me a little bit about your experience as a city council member, right? So this is, are you on your third term?
This is, right, this is my third.
You're on your third term. So you've been on city council for a while. You've had the opportunity to work with several different people in that role. Gloat for a minute. Tell me what you've been able to accomplish as a city council member, and then tell me what you're still struggling to get done.
So the first year is really kind of getting used to what that all means.
The process.
The process, yeah, and there really is a learning curve. So I think anybody that goes into any elected role, there's a little bit of a learning curve. But immediately what I tried to do was to see what some of the challenges were in our city. And going back to, I think it was 2016, immediately it was the opioid addiction crisis, which had just started to come into being, and people were starting to talk about it. And Gaskin County was fifth in the state for overdose deaths.
Jesus Christ.
Think about that. Our county was fifth. And we were just starting to hear about that, and it was like, this is, we don't want to be fifth for that. So I began to bring people together, reached out to our attorney general. We had some informational town halls. And what I really appreciated about that whole process was that our attorney general from North Carolina came here, listened not only to law enforcement and to elected officials, but then went to Phoenix Counseling and spent an hour and a half listening to individuals who are in recovery and people who are actually have been there and are finding their way out of addiction. And that, to me, spoke volumes of what the process ought to be. So I just try to do that wherever I go, whatever I do, bring people together. And I think there's a real hunger for information, and not just information, but pointing people to possible solutions and resources. And we don't do that in government. You know, we just kind of sit behind our dais, you know, up there on the stage, and we do what we do. But we somehow forgot that our role is to be out there in the community, is to be connecting people, is to help facilitate conversations, is to help bring about solutions and not just talk about things. So, you know, I could go on and on, but that's really what I've done, and that's what I do, and that's what I enjoy doing.
So you focus more on helping people that need help, that want help. I think there's that distinction needs to be made. I mean, I've witnessed myself in my personal life enough people that I know that have struggled with addiction and homelessness issues. And I've watched one of my very best friend was homeless at one point in his life and found his way out of it. You know, I've watched addicts go to waste, and I've watched addicts scratch and claw their way out of that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And the difference between the people that get out and the people that don't is there's a desire to want better. What do you say to the person that it's just not getting through? Like, they just have given up.
So I think you're on the right track. And there is a lot of people who are saying to local government and probably state and national government, do something. You got to solve this problem. Well, first of all, be careful what you ask for, because when government begins to do something, they're going to do it their way, and they're going to do it the
right. It's always expensive.
But we have to go back to personal responsibility and accountability. And I work in the healthcare field. I work with individuals who are experiencing homelessness. If somebody wants help, then we ought to be able to point them and get them the help they need. But to your point, if somebody's not at that point yet, this is going to sound harsh, but with limited resources and limited ways for government, and I'm not talking about the private sector, but government, there's only so much government can do.
That's the point I'm making. That is exactly the point I made. There's a line.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line, and some people have to get to that line and be willing to cross it to get better, and some people just aren't. So, there's a myriad of reasons why people can find themselves in addiction or homelessness situations. You know, it could be choices that you've made. You know, It could be, you know, an environment that you grew up in. It could be someone in your life that's sucking you into a lifestyle that, you know, we talked about this a little bit on the Hope United episode about mm-hmm. with domestic violence, how one day you're falling head over heels in love with somebody, 6 months later you're trapped in a bedroom and can't leave the mm-hmm. house. You know, it can happen that quick. And it's when you find yourself in those situations, it just seems like no matter what you do, that hole gets deeper and deeper. But the fact is there are resources there, and it takes people like you, like this show, this platform that we have, to get those word out that there's there. So let's move on to something more positive. Let's talk about development here in the town. You know, you've been on your third term. You've had a hand in getting some of the things going down. I want you to take a minute and talk about what you've seen since the time you became a city councilman to now. What growth have you seen? Because you got in 2016, is that right?
2015
was your first. So that's 8 years now you've been in office. What's new in the last 8 years?
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's my point.
There is. And I'm glad you asked that because, I think sometimes we do our daily thing and we go to work and we're living our lives and we don't always take the time to look back 5 or 10 years ago and see what it was like mm-hmm. and what it's like now. So, yeah, there's a lot of challenges. You know, we're not perfect. The downtown needs some life and additional revitalization. But there's a heck of a lot of good things going on. And I'm so proud that I advocated for Fuse and stood up for that and was part of that original council that decided to purchase that property. Mm-hmm. It was not easy. People told us we shouldn't do it. They said we were silly. That's not what we should be doing. But we took a chance and did something to try to revitalize a part of town that nobody really thought had any life in it.
Nobody cared about that part of town.
I mean, it was a half burnt down.
Franklin, you looked over there and you just kept going wherever you were going.
Yep, a half burnt down hotel, a Sears building that had nothing but asbestos in it and rodents and all kinds of just dilapidated buildings. And I don't know how anybody could say today that things are not better where Fuse is. That doesn't mean that some of the things happening there are perfect, but that's, you know, the ups and downs of business. That's not that is not what economic development is about. It's about investing in your community and seeing the results of that. I do worry sometimes that some of the energy has shifted from downtown to Fuse, and I think Fuse should be bringing everybody together. So there shouldn't be like one pocket here and another pocket here, but it should be one large pocket of life.
I totally see that because it's almost like it just, at a certain point, it just cuts off and it's like it's
One little thing that stands in between Fuse and the rest of downtown that just seems to repel people. And, you know, just not much we can do about it, but we can just keep building. We can keep building around because things are kind of making their way towards each other.
They are, and it's a process.
I mean, we're one of them. You know, since you've been in office, we have a brewery. There's another brewery about to open up. You know, the hotel has opened. You know, we've opened. There's a CityCade has opened.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's more shops in downtown. There's even a convenience store in downtown. Did you know that we have a convenience store right on the corner of South and Main?
We have a convenience store. We have a coffee shop. We've got several restaurants.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, you're right. We still need more work. Yep. You know, we got a ways to go, which means there's more opportunity. And you know, I would like to see people, I see this happens probably once a week. We'll have somebody come here for a show, and they'll be from Mount Holly or Stanley or Belmont or Shelby or even Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And there's this look of astonishment in their eyes mm-hmm. because before they came here, they went and had a beer at the brewery, and then they went and had dinner at one of the restaurants. And they come here, and they're like, this place is great. I never knew Gastonia had all this. Like, I hear that all the time. Like, once they get here, they're like, I didn't know it was like this. And I think it's just going to take time to keep building that. Like you said, there was a stigma for a long time. And, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't going to let that go. And that's fine. You know, those people can stay at home and play their video games or whatever the fuck it is they do. You know, we're interested in positive people. We want to grow the community. That's why we're down here. And I appreciate your advocacy on all of it. You know, Robert, you know, was he's been instrumental in getting a lot of things done around here. He helped me, you know, Robert and I met. I got assigned to you through the civic engagement training that I received through Gaston Together, which is a nonprofit organization that's basically focusing on bringing Gaston together and making things mm-hmm. better around here. And one of the things we were tasked with during that training was writing a story, our vision of Gaston County 5, 10, and 15 years from now. Like, where do we want to be 15 years from now, and what are the steps we have to take to get there? And collectively, there were like 30 of us in this class, mm-hmm. or close to 30 of us. And collectively, we were tasked to write this story. Like, and then we had these big, huge notepads. We broke it down by sectors, what needed to happen here and there. And ultimately, what that did was it created this, you know, two-page story that we wrote about. And we wrote two versions. We wrote the version that this is what would happen if we do these things, and this is what will happen if we don't. And from that experience, I was inspired to open this. Like, I it gave me the confidence to pull the trigger on the rooster. This would not have happened had I not received that training. That's how we met. And I'm grateful for that. So Robert's kind of been someone that I've been able to talk to, bounce ideas off of. He's pointed me in the right direction for a few things, and I'm grateful for that. So now my question to you is, where do you want to see Gastonia in 10 to 15 years from now? So, your vision.
There's several areas that I think we could really improve on. And I'm not going to go real deep into them, but first is really getting in touch with our young people. And, you know, if we look at some of the violent crime and things that the bad things we see happening in our city as far as crime, it's usually our young people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't want to advertise that. First of all, Gastonia is a safe place. It's safe. I mean, there is no more and no less crime here than any other city our size. But we do have to recognize that some of the violent crime that takes place is with our young people. So we need to be kind of proactive with that. We need to get in touch with our young people. We need to understand what's going on with them.
Do you know any kids in middle school? They're cunts, man. Middle school kids are the worst. I'm trying to bring some levity to
it. They are the worst and they are the best all at the same time. Because they keep it as real can be.
I was going to say, they'll tell you the way it is. And sometimes you're like, wow, you're right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So you want to start with the youth by engaging the youth.
I think that's critical. Because if we look at crime statistics, they don't just happen. Like, if crime goes up, it just doesn't happen that day that it's gone up. It's what happened a couple years ago that leads to those statistics going up. So what I want to see happen is that we nip this in the bud. We begin to deal with this at the where it's starting, instead of having to always deal with it at the end result, which is expensive, which involves law enforcement needing additional training and services and tools and instead of right absolutely the whole process and DHHS and all of that. That is a overwhelming.
So how do you make people care enough about their kids to raise them better?
Well, that's not government's responsibility.
Exactly. That's my point. Right, right. That there's a certain level of personal responsibility that we have to take for our community.
There is. I think what we can offer is, you know, we have all of these community resource centers throughout our city. You know, Highland and Phillips Center, and they're all over
United
the city.
United Way, Boys and Girls Club, yeah, absolutely. YMCA.
And, you know, it's great that we have the activities there that we have, and those need to continue. But we need to begin to think outside the box as well. What are we doing to kind of help people with anger management control and building self-esteem and understanding conflict resolution? And the world is not always going to go your way. And if it doesn't go your way, how are you going to respond? Yeah. Right. And those are the type of things that we should also be offering as far as recreation and activities. We can do both. But I think if we use those centers and have a real
incorporating approach, mental health education into these programs
and communication skills.
And is that something that Kintegra is working on?
So I think they're really looking at going into the schools. This is more about into our community centers and how that would look as far as what we do. Highland has already started that. They had a grant where they were given some money to kind of use special speakers and programming and different things to bring that community a little closer together and to reach out to their young people. So I think if we take that model, which is already started there, and just put it in all the other
I'm seeing firsthand the improvements in the Highland community.
Yes.
And you've worked with Charles Odom on some of that, right? Shout out to Charles Odom. He's he's another one that I met, you know, through some of this leadership training stuff who became he was inspired to become a city council member after some of the stuff that we did together.
Right.
And he's been a Highland advocate for a long time. And I mean, it's really nice because I drive by it every day to get here. And you're seeing the improvements in the homes and the community center and and the just everything that's going on and that I'm all for it. I mean, look, fact of the matter is when you've got a nicer place to live, you feel better. You're more proud of it. You want to take better care of it. You know, it's hard to get motivated to do good when everything around you is ugly.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, let's move on to some more fun stuff. You want to do that?
Cool. The fun stuff. Yeah, that sounds good.
So you're now all right, enough with the heavy stuff. So now that you are, a Gastonian, bona fide, where's the best liver mush?
Oh gosh, this is gonna put me on the spot.
Until you like it.
I don't like liver mush.
What?
I've tried.
Back to New York.
I know. I do like. I like Sun Drop. Actually, cherry lemon Sun Drop is not my favorite soda, but. And that's probably why I've gained 20 pounds.
All right, so I'll pose it this way. Best breakfast sandwich?
Bacon, egg, and cheese on sourdough. Tony's has a good one.
Okay, CDA was the right answer.
I say Tony's because our office is right across the street now from Tony's.
All right, best barbecue?
Let's see. I like Kyle Fletcher's, and I'm going to get people in trouble here because I'm not naming them all, but they're all good, but I like Kyle Fletcher's.
Kyle Fletcher, all right. Best pizza in town?
You know what? I'm going to say Cavendish because I had never really had their pizza until the...
You did get some at the bar crawl?
Right, I did.
Which one did you get?
It was like a meat, some kind of meat extravaganza.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, my husband got that. I was like... That was too much meat for me.
they have really good pizza.
Really good pizza.
It is good.
Best tacos.
That's another loaded question. That's like barbecue.
It is. I'm going to say the food trucks, and it's not one in particular, but if you want real authentic tacos, the food trucks are where you should go.
I'm going to shout out Viva Techie because Viva Techie has a food truck style. They have street tacos on their menu, and they're very, very good.
They are.
All right. Where's the best walking trail? Which park's got the best walking trail?
I like Rankin Lake, but there's something about, you know, walking around that lake and the sun.
Tranquility.
It is. Even though you hear the occasional skeet, you know, the firing range off in the distance, I find it really relaxing and it motivates me.
All right, if you were talking to somebody that's not from here, that's coming here to visit, let's say they're coming to one of our festivals and they're staying at one of the hotels and they've got an extra day here and they want to, where's the best tourist destination in town? Where would you send them to spend half a day?
So, you know, I would encourage them to come to our downtown, enjoy some of the things that are here. Also the Scheel Museum, which... I think a lot of people still don't understand how cool of a place the Scheel is. And if you like the outdoors, I mean, all of our parks are walking trails. Crowder's Mountain is right there. But yeah, there's so much here that we don't always promote ourselves. But there's a lot to do.
The tourism department for the county does a really good job of promoting all the awesome stuff. And that's and as far as tourism goes, that is more of a county question than it is a city question because you know Crowder's Mountain State Park is kind of in Gastonia but it's kind of not like
we're gonna claim it even though it's sort of
you can go into like Cramerton and then go kayaking on the South Fork you know there's so much to do here you know there's plenty of farms out here you can go to Lineberger's Farm and this is the time of year to check out Lineberger's Farm. You can go to hit their pumpkin patch, take the hayride, do all that stuff.
It's really a regional destination.
And Lineberger's is incredibly affordable, too.
Correct.
Very, very.
Yeah, that's where we get our pumpkin. I don't buy them pumpkins at the grocery store.
Oh, yeah, no.
Screw that. Which neighborhood's got the most opportunity?
I would think, that's really tough to say because every neighborhood has their... kind of their own story and their own niche, you know, their own thing happening. I think the further west you go in Gastonia, the more opportunity there is for maybe a small business person, somebody who wants to open something up on the cutting edge. And maybe it might not be quite as expensive because you're further out. So I think West Gastonia has some more opportunities that they could really tap into.
I forgot one best of question. Who's got the best entertainment?
You do. The Rooster.
Tell them.
The Rooster. You really do. And what I will say about the space, first of all, if I don't know if, you know, if people here really have gone to Asheville or Greenville or any of those other, you know, cities that we tend to think of as being very hip.
Robust,
yeah. Hip. This venue reminds me of Greenville or Asheville. And yeah, it's a welcoming space. It's fun. It's kind of intimate. You know, it's not so large that you're going to get lost, but mm-hmm. you can see people across the room. And you've got the live entertainment. That is really taking a lesson from some of those other cities that have been on the cutting edge, but then also making it your own. So it's a really cool space.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. And I mean that.
Thank you. I know. Yeah, and Robert's been here a few times, and I appreciate the support. I really do. You know, if truth be told, I would like to see more people come out. You know, there's a lot of challenges in doing what we do. You know, I knew from day one that this was going to be hard. Like, I don't ever want to come off like I'm bitching or complaining or whining or anything like that. It is frustrating, though. It's very, very frustrating because, like, you know, this weekend, you know, we had two back-to-back great shows, mm-hmm. and I was disappointed with the turnout for both of them because I felt like more people should be here for these shows. Like, what's happening in front of us right now is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's awesome. And more people should be here because this is a smaller, more intimate venue, but it's big enough to feel empty.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like when there's only 20 people here.
Yeah.
You know, my goal is to have, you know, between 50 and 100 people here every night for every show we do. If we do that, then we'll be golden. And I don't know what's keeping people from coming to more shows. I'm trying every day to solve that puzzle. And when I figure that formula out, I ain't telling none of y'all motherfuckers. I'm keeping that shit to myself.
Do you think, though, with the 100-plus families, individuals that will be here shortly with the apartments,
really hope it helps.
I hope that's going to be added foot
traffic. I hope we hang in here long enough to see it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really looking forward to that play. I'm hoping that the management will allow me to host some sort of welcome to the neighborhood event for them, maybe a private party for the first, you know, people that move in there. We'll bring in some free entertainment. We'll feed them. You know, I'm hoping that I've tried that with I've tried it with Lorraine Mill, and I've tried it with Trenton Mill. The Trenton Mill management were into it, but nobody wanted to come. And Larray, I can't get their management company to even entertain, like, setting it up, which is, that's regretful. It's like, you're here, I'm here, your people can walk here, let me do something nice for them. And they just, you know, I'm not asking for their emails and phone numbers. I'm asking you to invite them here. And I can't even get them to do that. And that's the competitive mindset that I don't think is helpful for trying to do what we're doing.
That's the opposite of community.
Yeah, my goal is to work with every one of these businesses, even ones that are doing better than me. And, you know, if you're doing better than me, maybe you're thinking I'm trying to leech off you. Well, that's a cannibalistic mindset, and that's not achieving the goal. Look, if I'm doing better, you're doing better.
Yep.
You know, I'm not trying to be king of downtown. I just want this place to succeed.
And you're not trying to ride anybody's coattails. You're just trying to build
community. Nobody's doing what we're doing.
Right.
And I'm not trying to do what anyone else is doing.
It's a hey neighbor thing.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
So I, you know, I would like to see more of that. But yeah, if you're watching this and you haven't been here yet, stop wasting your time. Get down here and support the Rooster. And I'm gonna leave the rest of this to you. You know, I've kind of asked you everything I wanted to ask. I've gotten the information I don't want. What do you want to tell our audience? And I guess this would be the opportunity to campaign for a second, because we're not a political show. We don't, you know. And you know, when I asked you to come on here, I was very adamant. I don't want this to be a political thing, because you are more than anything, you're a community advocate. You know, even, which, you know what? That brings up a good question. This will be my last, this is kind of a hardball question. But, you know, a couple years ago you ran for State House.
I did.
Now, what would you say to a person that say, well, you're just trying to have a political career. You know, what do you say to that critique?
So, you know, I would say that we all make mistakes. And I allowed some folks to kind of lead me into running for a particular office that had I really taken more time to think about, it's not really where my gifts or talents lie. You know, I enjoy the more intimate community of
a city. So you were gassed up a little bit?
Right. I really felt that I was doing the right thing at the time. But hindsight is 20/20, and there's so much to be done in Gastonia, and there's so many things that we can all work together on, and it's where I live, you know, and don't get me wrong, you know, anybody who runs for the State House or even for national level politics, I mean, they're still in their community. You know, they come home and they're still here.
Some of them.
But it's not the same as actually living here full time and engaging with the public here full time. And there's a lot more accountability on the local level. I mean, I know some people might differ, say it's not, but you run into people at the grocery store, or if you're walking downtown, or you're at the post office, or wherever you might be, you cannot get away from the people you serve. Not that you would want to, but that helps to keep you.
Keeps you honest.
It does. It keeps you honest.
Well, those state and national guys, they're hanging out at the country club. They're not, you know, they got somebody else going to a grocery store for them.
They're not walking the beat.
So, long story short, I had some folks ask me and try to encourage me to run for that office. I did it, and I did it for the right reasons at the time, but I'm really glad I lost.
What did you learn from that experience?
I learned that I am more comfortable on the local level and that my talents are here in Gastonia.
I feel that. I've been asked a handful of times by people, why don't you run for office? And I laugh when people say that. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. First of all, I'm not putting a fucking suit on. So there.
And you have to have dress shoes and a tie.
I'm not good at politics. I was never good at office politics. I'm too honest. Like, I can't pretend to like somebody. I'm not good at that at all.
No.
I can't pretend I can't sit there and listen to some bullshit and not say, that's bullshit. And you can't do that in those settings. Like, it's I'm too confrontational, I guess, in those settings. You know, and, you know, truth be told, I don't want the ridicule. I don't want the scrutiny of being that. I mean, this is, I've said many times, like, it's taken me over 2 years to get comfortable doing this show and being the face. I'm fine with that. I don't want more than that, right? Like, I don't need, you know, we all got skeletons in our closet. Last thing I want is for my daughter in middle school to have to read about some bullshit I did when I was a kid in the paper. Yeah. You know, like, I don't... I don't want that.
World we live in today. That stuff happens. Right? I mean,
some dumb shit I posted in 2008 on MySpace somehow resurfaces. You know, you know.
Or on the other end, if your middle schooler decides to post something and you're like, "Why did you do that?" You get backlash from that standpoint.
Right.
It is unfortunate and regrettable that we have this, like, we're living in a time where, like, there's no benefit of the doubt. Like benefit of the doubt is being taken away from everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one fuck up and you're done. Like, that's kind of where we're at now with the access to everything that we have with the internet and social media. And, you know, look, man, people learn from their mistakes. Anybody that says people don't change can eat my ass, because I changed. I changed big time. I was a very, very different person 20 years ago than I am now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. Yeah, and we're quick to put labels on people and put people in boxes.
Yeah.
And it's harder and harder to escape those labels and to get out of those boxes.
Yeah.
And we're really damaging people by not allowing them to be human and to have forgiveness and grace and mercy.
There's a difference
we
between
all have a past.
Yeah, there's a difference between making a mistake and a pattern of behavior.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are two different things.
Absolutely.
I agree. A pattern of behavior proves that this person has a tendency. But to take something that somebody did one time and crucify them for it is insane.
Or in their 20s.
You're setting a standard that's impossible to reach. And what it's done is it's created an environment where the worst people get the most power because they're the only ones willing, you know, they're the only ones willing to even go for those kind of jobs because they don't care. Like, I care too much about this community of mine, my family. I care too much about my mental health to catapult myself into that arena. So now you're left with the worst of the worst to choose from. And every 4 years, the worst of two evil, less of two. Well, that's because of you. Like, you've created that environment. Right. You know, you're unforgiving despite all your flaws, and now this is what you have. So remember that when election time comes around. So you want to end the show with your – I'll give you 60 seconds. Moderator, you got the clock? You got 60 seconds.
So
what's your pitch?
It's really about community. I mean, it is about community. We are so fragmented and so divided, especially since the end of COVID, that we have work to do. And there's no elected official in Gastonia or Gaston County or in our state that's going to have all the answers, but I think the answers come from all of us coming together, putting aside our differences, and just trying to make this place better. And I hope that I'll have the opportunity to facilitate that and to lead that charge. But really, the answers are not specifically in government, but it's in what we all can do together in a partnership.
Awesome. Any of Robert's friends that are watching this that are offended by my vulgarity, I apologize. I have a potty mouth. But I swear, I promise that all of this is done with good intentions and it's coming from the heart. Like, I do care about this town. I care about this community. You know, this community is where I grew up. I got out of it for a while, came back, and I'm here to stay, and the Rooster's here to stay. So come support the Rooster, support Robert and his endeavors, and leave us comments. Let us know what we can do better. You know, I want to hear your opinion. Just don't be an asshole. Peace and love.